Random. Welcome to minute 154 of season 8 of Movie Room Minute, the daily podcast where we foobar our way through the 1998 Steven Spielberg award-winning film Saving Private Ryan, 1 minute at a time. I'm Rob, and joining me once again today is Richard Kirkham of Kirkham Movie A Day. Welcome back to the show, Richard.
Glad to be back with you, Rob, for a couple more episodes. This is going to be a lot of fun.
Of course, definitely. So minute 154 begins with Miller continuing to try and defend the Alamo, and ends with Upham reemerging. So we basically finished things yesterday with Miller getting shot and deciding to start shooting at the tank that's coming at him with his 45. This minute continues with that.
Rob, have you been keeping track of the number of shots that Miller makes?
Yes, we have.
Okay.
Yesterday he had two shots, and today he continues and he shoots it another four times. So he only shoots six shots from this pistol, and you know later on we will see that. You know, that was his last bullet that he had. You mentioned yesterday that you wanted to talk about the 45.
Well, the sequence here is synced up really nicely. You know, obviously a 45 against a tank is not an equitable battle plan, and that he's using it as he is just his the last line of defense. It's his act of defiance at the end. But I appreciate the way that it's being utilized here. He's down to his sidearm here. And when he gets off that fourth shot today, it synchronizes with something that, you know, if they were going for a comic moment, he would have looked at his gun. But he's not fooled. He knows that he didn't cause what happened to the tank to occur. He just pauses before he looks up and sees the P-51s.
Right.
But I like the way it was synced up. And I appreciated the fact that they didn't have him do a double take at the gun, because that would have been something that a lesser filmmaker might have tried to get in a humorous moment in what is just not a situation where you want a joke.
Correct. But again, it's not as if Steven Spielberg wouldn't do something like that. Like, I could see him doing something similar to that in, you know, maybe an Indiana Jones type movie.
Yeah.
But because of the content of this movie, therefore it doesn't fit in with it.
Right.
You know, it's not necessarily a question of, you know, a lesser filmmaker. It's showing that Spielberg knows enough that, you know, there's certain situations where you can do things and certain situations where you don't do things. And that's what it comes down to.
He knows what the assignment was here, and the assignment was drama, not humor.
Correct. Correct. So Miller is right there shooting at the shooting at the tank. We see other people are also shooting it, or we see other bullets hitting off the tank, not just his. And he just shoots. That's it. You know, and as you mentioned on the fourth shot, as he's calmly shooting at the tank, the tank just completely is obliterated and is completely blown up here. And it's a nice shot. They do a nice job of making it all seem really, really realistic with the way that they do it. So I like that shot.
Yeah, we got some good explosions there, some inferno.
So as you said, Miller's still a little bit shocked, you know, because he knows that it's not him, but then he looks up and you see the plume of smoke and fire going up into the air. And then, above that, we see a P-51 fly by. And therefore, you know, he knows that he's being helped from above, which I like the way that they do that. It also gives us somewhat false hope that, okay, Miller is now going to be saved. You know, he was about to actually, you know, he's been wounded and he's about to die by being crushed by this, you know, by the tank. But now that the P-51 has arrived, it's sort of saved him. You know, so I like that because, again, it doesn't make it that it's inevitable that Miller is not going to eventually make it out of this alive. You know, like I said, they give us a little bit of false hope here and there, but it's good that it's false hope. You know, I like it.
Well, it extends our investment in Miller, and that's really what we need for the last payoff.
Correct. Correct. Well, again, we need to invest in Miller because, you know, as we said, a lot of people watching this movie think that this movie is about Miller. Do you want to invest? You know, we do have 15 minutes left to this movie. So you got to find a way to keep investing in him. You know, all the way to the end. Milk it for what it's worth. You know, so I like the way that they do that. And then, you know, the shot changes and we see that it's not, there isn't only one P-51 there. There's two more that are around there that are helping out. And we see the you know, the flames coming out of one of the buildings in the background. And, you know, the shot that we get at, if you look at second 27, there's a shot of the whole area and we still see Ryan in the fetal position, and we see Ryben, taking cover behind some sandbags. But in this picture, we don't see where Miller is, even though theoretically he should be relatively close to where they are. You know, you can see a motorcycle on the bridge, but he doesn't make it that far on the bridge, does he? Maybe he did. Yeah.
Yeah, no, because he's got to be right in front of the tank.
That's right. See, he got really far. That's a little strange because from what I recall when he was shot, everything was on, you know, the one side of the bridge, on the Alamo side of the bridge. But now it seems as everything is on the other side of the bridge. I think he's
right in the middle of the bridge, you know, trying to reach that detonator trigger, and he just ended up back against the rabbit there.
The
tank is right there.
Correct, but I don't think that that's true because the detonator wire was coming out of the building, so it was already on the side.
It looks like in this scene you can see it right in the middle of the bridge too.
The what? The detonator.
Detonator laying on the ground.
Yeah, I think so. But again, that it doesn't make
continuity
sense.
Continuity error.
Definitely. There's no question about that. This is definitely a continuity error about the whole thing. Yeah, but you think that they wouldn't mess up with something this big because, I don't know. We're gonna have to give Spielberg a call and ask him about this one. Something seems a little off here. That's what I see here. And Ryben gets up and runs over towards Miller, and he does run pretty far. So again,
Miller must have made it halfway across the bridge.
That's right. So they've now established that, but we didn't see Miller making it across the bridge because Miller, when he got shot by Steamboat Willie, was on the far side of the bridge. He wasn't in the middle of the bridge.
I'd have to go back. I think he had to be up a little bit because if he was down far enough, the bridge would have given him a little bit more cover. And of course, he did stand up, so he's walking in that direction. I get the impression that he stumbled forward after he was shot, and that's the way we would interpret this kind of location. I'm going to give it the benefit of the doubt, but you can continue to have the doubts and be the naysayer.
No, I will. because that's why I do this. Because
that's what you do.
To embrace the movie more and try to figure out, try to explain the unexplained. And this is something that I would say is unexplained. But at this point, Ryben, goes to try and help Miller, tries to figure out, what he can do to try and fix him up with the whole thing. And, we see that he reaches into Miller's breast pocket and then pulls out his hand, and his hand is really bloody at this point also. And at this point, he reaches into his bag in order to take out maybe a bandage or something. And then the shot changes and we see Upham once again in the ditch. And we see that he has placed the bandoliers on the ground. Now he no longer needs them. And then two more P-51s, or maybe the same ones, fly over again with all the Germans running and trying to get out of there as quickly as possible. They're running for cover. It's actually funny that the Germans were on such a high here with the way that they were doing things. They were so pleased with their advances and everything that they moved forward with and all that stuff. And then you have these planes come that just bomb out the tank, and then all these soldiers that were that were moving forward have all now decided that they better get out of there. They no longer have the cover of the tank, and that's it.
They've lost the advantage. They had the numbers advantage, and they had the mechanized vehicle advantage, and that all just disappeared.
Correct. That's right.
So it's time for a strategic withdrawal.
Yeah.
Which is when Upham gets to take advantage of their uncertainty in the moment and their fleeing, and actually exert a little bit more power than he should have. I mean, there's still more of them than there are of him.
But, yeah, that's always made me wonder also about that whole thing.
But in the moment, they were all leaving and they had their weapons down and he's got his weapon up. So that gives him the advantage. And I guess they just figured, well, we're done anyway.
Yeah. More or less. they or maybe it's just because he gets the upper hand on them. He's got his gun.
Yeah, they're surprised.
Already pointed at them. And, they're not going to have time to react in order to stop him. So they might as well just, they all put their hands up. Even Steamboat Willie puts his hands up, and looks around, and Upham starts talking to them in German. I don't know what he says because it's not subtitled, and I don't have much of a German vocabulary. And basically, he keeps screaming at them, and they all end up putting their guns down and put their hands up. Which is very interesting the way that they do that. And then in the
very one thing I know, he does tell them to put their hands up. I assume that the other phrase that he's saying is put down the guns.
Probably. That would make sense. And in the very last 2 seconds of this minute, we get a shot of Steamboat Willie. And you can see that he finally has recognition on his face. That he realizes something that's going on here. And yep. Again, I like that this minute ends on that second, because it gives us a little bit of a cliffhanger till tomorrow about what's going to happen now that Steamboat Willie has recognized that it's actually Upham that's there. I like that. And that's how this minute ends. Did you have anything else you want to talk about in this minute, Richard?
I do not.
Okay, great. So every Thursday we have a game. It's called Say What Thursday. Say what? Say what again? And the idea behind it is movie quotes. So this movie has tons and tons of actors that we are familiar with from Hollywood, I guess you could say. There are a lot of people here that are recognizable. And you look at them, you say, oh, I saw that one, them in this movie and that movie and the other one. You go give a whole long list of things like that. So what I decided to do was make up a game where I will give you a movie quote and I will tell you the year And you have to tell me who the actor is and what movie.
All right, I'll do the best I can.
And it's obviously all connected to actors that appear in this movie. Now, obviously, because there are so many, you know, if I were to keep it completely open, then, you know, it would be much more difficult. So I've chosen three actors that it could be. Okay. So in the five questions that I'm going to ask you, the possible answers are either Tom Hanks, Vin Diesel, or Matt Damon. Okay.
Good deal. I got it.
I don't guarantee that I'm going to use all three. You know, so it could be that you know all five of them are Vin Diesel movies. It is possible, but you'll have to wait and see how to do it. So I will give you the name. I will give you the quote and the year that the movie came out, and you can let me know what
the actor and the movie.
The actor and the movie is.
Okay.
Okay. Okay. So for the very first one that we're going to do, it is a movie from 2015. Okay. And the quote is, "Every human being has a basic instinct to help each other out. If a hiker gets lost in the mountains, people will continue a search. If a train crashes, people will line up to give blood. If an earthquake levels a city, people all over the world will send emergency supplies. This is so fundamentally human that it's found in every culture without exception. Yes, there are animals who just don't care, but they're massively outnumbered by the people who do."
All right, I'll take a shot. Matt Damon, The Martian.
That is perfect. There you go. Excellent, excellent, Richard. Nicely done. All right. So the next one is a movie from 2001. And the quote is, "I live my life a quarter mile at a time. Nothing else matters. Not the mortgage, not the store, not my team, and all their bull. For those 10 seconds or less, I'm free."
Well, that's Vin Diesel, Fast and Furious.
Perfect. Excellent. Okay. The next one is from 2006. And the quote is, "That's why we study history. So we'll stop killing each other."
I'm going to say Tom Hanks, but is it Charlie Wilson's War?
No.
That's it. That's
I think that was 2007. I think that might be 2007, but I could be wrong.
I got nothing.
Okay. Ian McKellen is also in the movie.
I'm drawing a blank.
Okay. Alfred Molina is in the movie.
Well, you're giving me the whole cast, and I'm not doing very well here.
I'm not even close to the whole cast.
2006, you said?
Yes.
I don't want to make people keep waiting because I'm not going to get it. Go ahead.
You want more hints or not?
You can give me more clues if you want. If you think there's a chance that I'll get it. At the moment, I'm drawing a complete blank. I can't remember a movie that Ian McKellen and Alfred Molina were in with one of these three guys.
Okay.
I'll hate myself in a few seconds.
It was directed by Ron Howard.
2006. It's too early for Frost Nixon. And I don't remember Matt Damon being in those things. Ron Howard was... No, it's not Cinderella. I don't know. Thank you. You gave me plenty of hints. I'm not going to get it.
It's based on a book. How's that? Does that help also?
Not at all. I'll go. Is it Hanks in the Da Vinci Code thing?
Yes, it is.
Excellent. Okay.
There you go.
I didn't remember Molina was in that film, and I barely remember that Ian McKellen was in it.
Okay.
Okay. Thanks for the extra hints.
No, not a problem. Okay, next one is from 2010. There you go. The old TV and those guys from the Christmas decorations box. They're fun.
Oh, is this Tom Hanks in Toy Story 3?
Yes, it is. Excellent. Richard, you're doing excellent. I'm very, very, very quick. Okay. And the final one from 1994. You've got to put the past behind you before you can move on.
Well, that's going to be Tom Hanks because I don't think the other guys had enough lines before 1999 to be in do. And yes, if it's 94, that's got to be Forrest Gump, Tom Hanks.
Yes, it is. Richard, 5 for 5. Perfect.
Well, you gave me a lot of help with the one. The other ones okay. I got, but
okay.
Yeah, that's I appreciate fine. The hints on that one.
It's a group effort. All right. Thank you very much for playing. So, Richard, would you like to once again tell people where they can find Richard Kerber?
You can find me every week on the Lamcast, which is the podcast of the Large Association of Movie Blogs. Just search for Lamcast either on Facebook or on Twitter. And you can also find my personal blog, Kirkham A Movie A Day, either on WordPress at kirkhamamovieaday.com or on Blogspot at kirkhamclass.blogspot.com.
And finding me is very simple. Just do a quick search for A Movie Rob Minute. You can find me on Facebook. You can find me on Twitter. You can find me on Instagram. You can find me on my website, movierobminute.com. And if you want to send me an email, you can send it to movierobminute@movierob.net. So, Richard, do you want to come back tomorrow to finish off the weekday episodes of this week?
You know, Rob, I think I've earned it.
All right. So, until then, earn it.
Earn it. In my solitude, you